Warning. The following content may be disturbing to some individuals. Consumer discretion is advised.
This week on Sirens of the Supernatural. Black-eyed kids. Are they ghosts, demons, vampires, a product of evil magic, or just urban legends? Join us as we examine the possibilities, then you decide. Coming up, right now.
Hello out there, and welcome to all our Sirens of the Supernatural listeners, whether you're a new listener or whether you've been with us for a while. Welcome back. And I'd like to once again say hey to our little family affair we've got going on with Ryan, my cousin, Lindsay, my daughter, and then our behind-the-scenes producer is also a cousin, so I have to say, we have just had a blast doing this podcast together and bringing you all these spooky stories and topics. So, how are you two doing?
I'm doing great. Like I said, look forward to doing these episodes every week. You know, sometimes we have some issues, technical issues, whatever, but it's always fun, you know.
Yeah,
it is. And like I said, we look forward to interacting with our fellow ghouls and spooky people out there. Everything's good. What about you, Lindsay?
I'm doing good. We have tomorrow off work, so it'll be nice to have an extra day to sleep. I love being in the bed. I just love sleeping.
So you get that from me, though.
Yeah. So, I'm happy that we have tomorrow off, but I'm also excited to hear Black Eyed Kids stories because I really haven't heard a lot of them. I've heard a couple, maybe, but I'm excited.
Yeah, I think the first time I ever heard about Black Eyed Kids was on another podcast. Yeah. And I was like, wow, what? And so I was really, it was really cool to get in and do a deep dive and see what this is all about. So tonight we're diving into that topic. Maybe some listeners are like us and hadn't heard too much about this black-eyed kids phenomenon. So first, I'll like describe what these supposedly paranormal children are, and then Ryan and Lindsay both have some stories that they want to share with listeners, and some real-life encounters people have had with these creepy kids. So one of the first things I did, I wanted to see how long these stories had actually been around. Because, you know, it was a big change from last week when we went way back in time and talked about the origins of the siren stories. This is more a modern kind of phenomenon, and it's been around for about almost 30 years. And it's thought to have originated here in the U.S. in Texas from an experience in 1996 that a Texas reporter named Brian Bethel had one night. And then after he wrote his account, which I'll talk about, other people started coming forward claiming to have seen the same thing or similar experience. It seemed to be, when I first started researching it, mostly in America, right? But I did find some earlier stories, and I found some stories of black-eyed kids outside the United States that we'll talk about later when we start sharing our theories. But anyway, this guy, Brian Bethel, his story, like I said, took place in 1996, and here's what he described. He said late one evening as he parked outside a movie theater, he was writing a check in his car. Unaware of two approaching boys, he was startled when one of them tapped on his window. Though initially fearful and trying to understand what was going on, he rolled the window down, and the older of the two boys explained that they needed a ride home after forgetting money for the movie that they were going to see. And despite them seemingly being harmless, he hesitated, and he realized the movie would have already begun. Only when he made eye contact did he notice that they had entirely black eyes, and that kind of creeped him out. So he said he left the parking lot, and he always maintained that the encounter caught him off guard, but he had an unexplained feeling of terror when he saw their eyes. So following his sharing of this story, and he shared it with friends first and described these children and their pale skin and their eerie black eyes to his friends. Then he went on TV in 2012 and he shared it on a show called Monsters and Mysteries. Okay. Monsters and Mysteries.
Yeah.
So much later, he went on TV. But after he shared the encounter with his friends, more stories started coming to light in Texas and in other parts of the United States. So other people began sharing their experiences, and various theories emerged. Some people speculated the children were extraterrestrial, while others believed them to be demonic offspring, warning anyone against letting them into their car or their home. And the legend garnered such attention that a film was made about it in 2015. I didn't know that. I haven't seen the film. But it kind of gave it a place in pop culture, right? So how do these black-eyed children look? In all the stories, they have some similarities. It says they're always kids that look to be between 6 and 16 years old. They always have dark clothing on, whether it's a hoodie with their hood up or, you know, dark jacket, dark pants. Their skin is very pale, and usually they travel together, like 2, 3, or more. And it seems like they will come and ask for help of some sort. And it's hard not to feel bad. The people who've encountered them say at first, you know, they feel bad for them and want to help them. And then the more scared they get and the more hesitant they become, the more desperate and threatening the children become. So let's talk first about their eye color. Black is not a natural eye color. And the white part of our eyes is called the sclera, and it makes up about 5/6 of the surface of our eye. And every healthy person, no matter what their race, where they come from, has that white sclera. But animals usually have, you know, darker ones, and like dogs, horses, lizards, they can all have black scleras. Sometimes people with health issues, I read, they can have yellow looking white part of their eyes, and certain medicines and eye drops can make the sclera see through, which would be creepy too.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. What?
Yeah,
what do you see there?
You see like the veins and nerves and things in the eyeball, I guess.
No. Oh my god.
I know.
You look already in
this. That's as scary as the black.
I hate that so much.
But anyway, everyone who has seen these kids say that their eyes have no white whatsoever, that the entire surface that you can see is black, like pitch black.
Honest though, I would rather have that over see-through.
See-through.
If you're coming at me, I'd rather you have black eyes than see-through eyes. I don't care who it is. That's so crazy.
Well, Lindsay, if you're close enough to see the veins in their eyes, it's probably too late.
I'll be passing away either way. God bless. I did not know that was a real thing.
So that would freak you out enough. But then what do these black-eyed kids want? Okay, so it said they will come up to the door, the door of your home or whatever, or doorstep, or to your car, tap on the window, knock on the door, whatever. And when you answer, they will say something like, they need to use the phone, or will you let us in? We need to come in. it's cold outside, or they'll ask for some kind of request, like we need a drink of water, or we need help with this, or, you know, we need to use your phone, you know, all this stuff. So it was said that in all the encounters that have been reported, that the people that these children approach or knock at their door, whatever, they feel compelled to help, even if they don't really want to, almost like it's a form of mind control, almost mm-hmm. like their sixth sense is telling them something's not right here. Okay. Mm-hmm. Something well, is just not right.
Because that's, they're kind of dirty because they're using people's emotions. Because yeah. if you see a kid coming to your yes. door or asking for help, the first mm-hmm. instinct of a normal person is like, okay, these are some kids, you know, of course I'm going to help. So, yeah. I mean, that's kind of sneaky. It is.
Yeah. And another thing that these stories have in common is that the kids don't show their eyes right away. They'll have their heads down or their hood pulled up, or they're just kind of standing back from the porch light in the shadows a little bit when somebody answers the door, and then they will talk to them. And some of the people reported that they have kind of a monotone, sing-songy voice that doesn't sound quite right, but
I can never.
But they will usually make their request, you know, at least once, sometimes multiple times before they raise their head and look at the person, okay? And then the person who has been willing to help up to that point then sees these creepy black eyes, and they're like, oh, I don't know about this. And they won't open the door all the way, or they will, you know, roll the car window up or whatever. And it said that that is when these children can get more demanding or threatening.
Like aggressive,
and,
kind of.
And raise their voice and say, you know, let us in. We need to come in. Or, you know, anyway, it says that at that point where the person's fear is triggered and they're backing away or they're shutting their door, locking their door, it's like they finally come to their senses, you know. And it said that these black-eyed kids have been spotted begging for money, hitchhiking, lingering near residential homes. They have been spotted loitering around neighborhoods. And whether it's at your doorstep or in your car or somewhere else, you will often feel just that feeling like something's not right. Like it's not all out horror at first. It's like something's not right. So people have theorized, and some of them say these children are ghosts. Okay. They're just flat out ghosts. Other people think they're demons. Many people are convinced that they're vampires because of their very pale skin, and it seems like they're mostly seen at night, or at dusk or after dusk in the nighttime hours. And some people are convinced that they are practitioners of some kind of dark magic. Yeah, it's really kind of interesting when you do a deep dive and start reading some of these stories. And I know y'all have some stories to share, and I haven't heard your stories, so I'm anxious to hear those. And then I want to talk about some theories, because I have some theories that I found out there that will, yeah, they're pretty mind blowing.
I have a quick, this is something that just kind of after reading some stories and seeing similarities. Mm-hmm. And it's funny you mentioned vampires, mm-hmm. You know, and not to overstep, but vampires have to be invited in. You have to give them permission, oh, which is very similar to what the black eyed kids are, uh-huh. because you notice they want in or they want access. Mm-hmm. So without that, they can't enter or they can't just do any harm. So I think there are some similarities with a vampire.
Yeah.
So also, I'm kind of curious of why they show their eyes before gaining access to the house, because if I was wanting to come in, no one, I want to show somebody my freaky eyes, whether they be yeah. black or uh-huh. transparent. I know they're not going to let me in then. Right.
Yeah. And also, I feel like vampire depictions, most of the time they're very persuasive. Like they're kind of subconsciously influencing you to do something. And for these kids to like come up to your car or like come into your house, and then you get this sense of like you have those survival instincts that kick in. Like your gut always knows. Mm-hmm. You know.
I did come across one story, Ryan, though, where it was a man and a woman that lived, you know, a husband and wife that lived in a house kind of out in the country. And one night it was late and they heard a knock at the door, and they went and looked, you know, out the door and saw these two or three kids there. And it was, they didn't see their eyes until they let them in. They actually let them in. And the woman made them some hot chocolate because they said they were cold. They wanted to use the phone. They were trying to get a hold of their parent or something like that. And so she's in the kitchen making them hot chocolate, and she sets them down at the table, and her husband walks through and he's asking them something. And one of the kids looked up at him and he sees these eyes, and he's just like, so he goes over to the wife and he's like, something's right. Something's not right here. You know, and he's telling her, and he's like, look at their eyes, look at their eyes. And so she goes to serve the hot chocolate to them. And as she sets the hot chocolate down on the table, she said that this fear just grabbed her like nothing else. She saw their eyes, and she said they got up. A car pulled up outside. They hadn't called anyone yet. A car pulled up outside, and they said they had to leave. And so they left. They didn't look back. They didn't say thank you. They went and got in this car and left, and they were gone. But she said that her and her husband were so unnerved by it. They were so afraid those kids would come back, like, on subsequent nights, that they turned all the lights off and acted like no one was home.
That sounds like... It almost makes me wonder if whoever pulled up, it had been a certain amount of time, and if she hadn't been nice and offered them hot chocolate and was, like, kind and caring, like, what would they have done?
I don't know, but the husband's them. Like, we got to get these kids out of here.
It feels very, like, serial killer cults.
Yeah, it made me wonder, you know how people are always trying to... Some people, not all people, but there are scams like that in parking lots where people are watching, you know, and trying to find someone that's not paying attention to their surroundings that they can rob or mug or whatever. And usually there are people working together, someone to distract you, you know, while the other person is. So it made me kind of think along those lines too. Yeah. But yeah, very interesting. That was the only story I found where someone actually let them come in. Yeah, I couldn't find any of the others, you know.
Yeah, so that's what I was coming to, because I was thinking, I was like, you know, and I hadn't seen one, you know, according to them letting them in and whatever. Because I'm thinking, okay, nobody lets these people in. And if the people that do let them in, there's not a story out there. So what happens? Yeah, do they kill them? Do they vanish? Are they like, you know, so... It's weird. And what's the end game? I mean, they let him in, they offered him hot chocolate, and then they left without doing anything. Or
it was weird. Crazy. I was expecting, as I was reading and I saw that she let them in and was making hot chocolate, I was like, oh no, what's gonna happen now?
Yeah,
they'd have found me on America's like missing people, because I'd have like followed it. I'd have been like, no, that's just too weird. What are these things?
Some people believe that they're like, they're alien in nature or something like that, and they have like these adult versions of them that don't allow themselves to be seen, but they'll send the kids out. I don't know. There's all kinds of weird theories out there. I'm anxious to hear y'all's stories.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons I don't have a wampum mask.
I guess my takeaway from that is, like, if this ever happens to you, and God forbid they get into your house, as a last ditch effort, just give them hot chocolate give them hot chocolate, hope that it goes well and that they'll just leave.
Yes, exactly. But you know what the weird thing was? They didn't drink any of the hot chocolate. Isn't that weird?
Okay, well, that's wasteful. So shame on them for that.
Yeah. Funny. Let's hear your story, Ron. You said you had a doozy for us.
Yeah, this is actually pretty interesting. And since, you know, Halloween is pretty much my favorite holiday, you know, mm-hmm. this one is, you know, not too long, but it's by Reddit user SarahBeth11. Okay. So I'm going to read it as she has written it. So it's pretty interesting. I think it's kind of fun.
Okay.
So the title is called Halloween, in case you guys want to look it up. This is so funny. I never heard of BEKs before, my incident, so I came on here to post my story. And the first story I see is about a BEK that's weird. Let me preface this by saying that I, by no means a writer, just a domestic engineer living in North Texas. Also, I don't believe in the paranormal, ghosts, demons, aliens, whatever. However, I did have an event happen to me this Halloween, and I have to admit, it has me scratching my head. This is my first post on Reddit, and sorry to say I never even heard about it until yesterday. I told my best friend about my incident, and she's an avid reader of non-sleep, and she told me that if I didn't post it, that she's going to. So, here I am. Anyways, hope you like. So, here's the story. So, it'd been a slow trick-or-treat night in our neighborhood that evening, which is pretty odd in itself, because we usually have kids from different areas dropped off in hours and have a concert parade at our door. That night, I'd say we had no more than 8 or 10 groups of kids come by the entire night. It was about 9:30 p.m., and my husband and I were sitting in our family room watching some of those ghost shows based on supposed actual events. Like I said, I don't believe in that stuff, but I do like a good ghost story now and then. And it was Halloween, and, you know, that's the thing we do. We hadn't had any activity at the door in over a half hour, and it was getting late, so we decided to turn the porch light off and let our dog, Chloe, out of her crate. Now, Chloe's an American Bulldog and is very docile. We only put her in a crate because we're afraid she'd try to get out to play with all the kids, and I didn't want to have to chase after her or all the way down the street. Also, we didn't want her to scare away any of the kids because she would look a little intimidating to the younger kids. So I turned the outside light off. I let Chloe out and she followed me back to the couch and lay down at my feet. It was getting close to 10 p.m. when my husband decides he had enough fun for the night and was going to go upstairs, take a shower, and get ready for bed. After all, it was Thursday and he still had to get up early the next day to go to work. My teenage son was out with his friends at a local haunted house and wasn't expected back for another hour or so, so that left me alone on the couch with Chloe. Now, just because I don't believe doesn't mean that those shows don't freak me out a little bit. And being alone now watching, I'd have to say I was kind of on edge, as it were. And it wasn't long after that I heard upstairs water from the shower turn on when there came a light knock, knock, knock at the front door. My initial reaction was, what the heck, really? It's almost 10 p.m., go home. But soon an uneasy feeling came over me. Why the knock? Our doorbell glows, and in the dark, without the porch light on, it would be an extra obvious to anyone there. I paused. I couldn't really just ignore it. Our front door has a big beveled glass panel, and anybody right at the door could see in enough to see someone was in the family room watching TV, and it would be pretty rude for me to just sit there and not answer it. Knock, 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 again, from the door. I glanced down at Chloe, and she was gone. My gaze followed her usual path to the front door, expecting her to be on her way there. She normally does, but nothing. She wasn't there. I stood up to look around the room better and found her crouching by the back door like she was wanting out. However, she never asked to go out like that. She always comes and licks my hands or puts her head on my knee. This was totally out of character for her, and I have to say, heightened by my anxiety, Chloe, crate. I said, she just turned back to look at me like, hell no, lady, I ain't moving. I yelled up to my husband, but he was already in the shower, and I knew there was no chance of him hearing me. Knock, knock, knock. About that time, a car drove down our street and cast enough light on the door to where I could see the silhouettes of two small children through the glass. I instantly felt relief. It was just some kids, probably a couple of my neighbors on their way back home and wanted to stop by and show me their costume or something. So I headed to the door and looked back to make sure Chloe wasn't going to follow what a great watchdog, I thought to myself as she just sat there. I turned on the porch light when I got to the door, and sure enough, I could see through the glass that it was a couple of pretty small kids. A little late for such young ones, I thought, and I began to wonder what kind of parents would let their kids run the streets that late at night. I only opened the door enough to see where I can block Chloe's escape if she decided to grow some balls, which was only about 2 foot wide. And that struck me immediately odd as the kids weren't wearing any costumes. They were in normal street clothes. Also, no customary trick-or-treat either. So I began to feel uneasy again. It was a girl and a boy. The girl to my left was older. I'd say about 11 or 12. And I could tell she was blonde, but I couldn't make out any distinct features as our lights are from high above and on columns at the front of the porch. So most of the light was coming from behind them. I had not opened the door wide enough for any light from inside to hit them directly. And the boy was younger and about a foot shorter. I'd say about 8 or 9, and he looked to have light brown hair. The girl very politely spoke up. "Ma'am, can we please come inside and use your phone to call our mom?" As she spoke, something in the pit of my stomach was telling me something was wrong. What kid, even at that age, doesn't have a cell phone of their own these days? I couldn't remember the last time I had anybody asked to use my home phone. "Huh? Don't you have a phone of your own you can call your mom on?" I asked. This is where things really got weird. Both kids turned to look at one another like they were going to say something to one another, but neither ever spoke. They both turned back to me, and the girl said, "Ma'am, my cell phone battery doesn't have any charge left in it. Can we please come inside and call our mother? We're alone out here, and my brother's scared." Now, I have to admit, there were two competing feelings going on inside me. The first, that of a mother's heart that wanted to help these two small children get to their mom. The other, a sinking fear in my gut that was keeping the other feeling at bay. It was then that I noticed that during the short conversation, I'd already opened the door a few extra inches, which I was completely unaware of doing. So I stopped. "Honey, why don't you give me your mother's number and I can call her myself?" Another pause, and again, they looked at one another. After a short moment, they turned back to me, and the girl said, "Ma'am, my little brother has to use your bathroom. Can we please come inside while we call our mom?" And with that, the last statement, the little girl moved closer to the door like she was just going to walk in on by me. As she did, she stepped into the light coming from inside the house, and I got my first real good look at her. Solid, jet black eyes. That's all I could see. The motherly instinct was gone and replaced by terror. I don't think I've ever felt in my life. I could feel every hair on my arms and back of my neck standing in attention. I closed the door to where just my face was able to stick out. The little girl stopped and again pleaded, "Please, ma'am, we're really scared and alone out here. We have to come inside. Please help us." And then, like on a cue, both kids began to whimper and cry. That's when the fear took over and I shut and locked the door. "I'll call your mom if you give me the number," I shouted through the door. "But I'm not letting you in my house." I could still see them stand there on the porch just staring at me through the beveled glass pane. Part of me wanted to run upstairs to my husband, but the bigger part didn't want to lose track of where they were. That would have freaked me out even more to not know where they were. After what seemed like forever, but probably only a few seconds, I decided to call my neighbor that lives across the street. As I made my way to the side table by our couch to my phone, I glanced at the back door. Chloe was nowhere to be found. We later found her in the guest room under the bed. When I got to my phone and started to look for his contact info, it was only then the kid stepped away from the door and began to walk to the street. As they did, I walked to the door to get a better look to see where they went. Still not calling my neighbor. If you get close enough to the glass, you can see out enough to make people's shapes, but you can't see that much detail. Of course, standing that close to the door would make you pretty obvious to anyone outside looking in also. From the door, I could see that the kids were still standing under the street lamp nearest my house, staring at me. As I lifted the phone to my ear after calling, only then did the kids start to walk down our street. I met my neighbor out under the lamp once he was out there, but the kids were nowhere to be seen. Like I said, I don't believe in any of this stuff, and had never even heard about Black Eyed Kids before talking to my friend. What I really think, or what I have to think, is that these kids were just out yanking people's chains on Halloween night. But I will say this for them. They were good. Really good at it, and they scared this out of me and my dog. So that's from SarahBeth11, and you can find that on Reddit. And that's a pretty interesting because, you know, they use kids for emotion. It's Halloween, so of course you're going to open the door.
Yeah.
So that was a typical response from just like an average person, and it would pretty much freak everybody out. Like I mentioned earlier, that's why I do not have a welcome mat, because if you welcome somebody, that's a predetermined inviting something in.
Ooh, I didn't think vampires or black-eyed kids
is coming to my house. Sorry, it ain't happening.
It's interesting. They kind of pulled every trick in the book.
Yeah.
On her to get her to let him in. Oh, that's creepy. And just to think that when she looked out the door and they're still standing out there under the streetlight staring at her.
That's when you open the door and you go, what? Go home. Get out.
Oh, that was a good one, Ron.
Yeah, that one.
I enjoyed that one.
Lindsay, did you have some?
Yeah, I have a couple. I don't know if I'll read the second one, but I think at the beginning of the episode, you said that you'd not really seen anything about adults with black eyes. Is that what you said? Okay. Mm-hmm. I think my story has one.
Okay, a tie-in.
Yeah, a tie-in. Okay, so this is from JohnJ23 on Reddit. He says, this still sends shivers down my spine. I was the store manager of a nationwide mall, computer, later gaming store. This was long before GameStop and cell phones. We were located on the left side facing the middle of the mall with JCPenney's to the left at the end. This detail plays into what happened. Oh, I remember. Good old JCPenney in the mall.
Yeah.
Those were the good days. My ex-wife is a strikingly beautiful Latina woman. She was only 20 and my daughter 1.5 at the time. Unfortunately, but fortunately for us, we had very beautiful babies. They almost looked like dolls. The reason I say this is my daughter attracted way too much attention as a baby. We stopped going out in public because people were constantly approaching us and trying to touch her. Side note, can I just say this? If you are out somewhere and somebody else has a really cute baby, you can just say they're cute. You don't have to go up and,
fall
all over them and touch them. Right. Nobody wants that. Public service announcement. Don't be touching other people's kids, especially ones that you don't know. That's good advice to follow. Anyways, let's get back to the story. It's a Sunday. I would work the whole day since it was a short day. The three of us would go to work. My ex-wife would dress our daughter and herself up and make a day of it. She liked to shop and wander for the day, coming back to have lunch. Being the manager, I took long breaks as well. Everything is going along fine like any other Sunday. I go out to give her some money and my spidey street senses start going crazy. I look to the left and I see a man intently looking at my wife and our daughter. I meet his gaze. He doesn't look away. We had had a huge wedding with 200 plus guests, so I asked my wife if she knew the person staring at her. We both look up and he was gone. Couldn't have been 2-3 seconds since I last looked at him. There was something strange about him I remember to this day. He was dressed in a dark gray suit with a dark gray overcoat. Not to trouble her, I told her not to worry about it. We had lunch, and we took the long way back to the store. We stopped by mall security. I introduced her to the security guys who had become good buddies. I pulled them aside and told them what had happened. They were concerned. We stopped by the info booth, and I tell the person working there to let me know if she sees him. My ex-wife loves to shop at JCPenney's and goes shopping in the store. Before she goes in, I tell her about the man in the gray suit. She let me know that she would keep an eye out for him. So later, there's a call on the store phone. An employee tells me it's the phone. I'm like, yeah, I heard it ring. LOL, he says in the store. He tells me he needs some help. He pulls me aside and says, it's your wife, and she sounds scared as hell. I jump on the phone. She tells me the man I had described has been following her for over half an hour. When he had first showed up, she said he was reaching for our daughter. I'm beginning a fight right there. So I immediately call security. They come up the middle with my employee standing watch on the entrance to JCPenney's. I go out the back into the parking garage, which was no more than 50 feet away, only two entrances into the store, front and back. Lots of emergency exits on the parking garage side, so the only entrance not covered was in the front. Luck would have it, a police officer had pulled someone over from the street and was in the front parking lot. By this point, I don't want the gentleman to go away. I want him caught. Everyone starts converging on the store. He has nowhere to go. They walk to the station where my wife is surrounded by the store manager, several employees, and they have our daughter behind the counter. The police officer had been alerted. Mall security escorts both of them out of the store to me. We put them in our car and they drive straight to her mother's. They continue to search the store, every nook and cranny. He was never found. To this day, I can remember every detail, but the detail that sticks with me most, his eyes were coal black. Spooky.
Spooky.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Sometimes real life can be scarier than...
Yeah, and that kind of makes me think, okay, so there's these kids that come around to houses, but they have to be coming from somewhere. So where they're just really undercover black-eyed adults that go around and take babies and turn them into black-eyed kids. It's a thinker.
Yeah, it's a thinker.
It's for a thinker. Sure. That one freaks me out.
Is your other one about actual kids, or has it got adults in it too?
My other one is kind of a, I don't know, it's a little longer. I mean, it's not too long. I can read it if you want me to, but it's Black-Eyed Children in Appalachia.
Oh, yes.
It's a little long, but I can read it if you guys want me to.
Yeah. I want to hear it.
Okay. This one is from Mucosal Membrane on Reddit.
Wow.
They said, I've encountered the black-eyed children is what it's called.
Okay.
An old friend hit me up recently and I started reminiscing and I remembered this. I believe I've encountered the black-eyed children over a decade ago in rural Appalachia. This has always low-key disturbed me. Keeping in touch to this day, we've never brought it up again. We were at a local state park sort of place at between 9 p.m. and 1 a.m. I remember we were parked alongside the woods and some picnic tables. It was pretty desolate and we were technically trespassing. Now, this was when she was 17 and she was with another 17-year-old boy. She said, and what we were doing there, you can leave to your imagination. As our curfews were approaching and we were finishing up our time together, we experienced a very ominous feeling. He was in the driver's seat, preparing to start the car and pull off. The car doesn't start. We sort of laughed it off, as it wasn't the first time, and talked. Suddenly to the right, the passenger side where I was sitting, we see faint lights coming out of the woods. The ominous feeling intensified. Emerging from the woods, there are 4 to 5 children, younger than us, like appearing to be 7 to 11 years old. I'm not going to claim they had black eyes. It was dark, and I don't remember, as I was pretty shook. And I didn't read about the black-eyed children lore phenomenon until years later, which described everything else that we experienced. All I can say is they were not normal. They didn't belong. The cabins at the park were not occupied. They weren't even getting rented out, as it was autumn and winter. We were miles from the park's hotel. There were no adults. They were absolutely out of place. What were the lights? I don't know, but the closest thing I can compare them to are glow sticks, as if they had opened a package of those novelty glow sticks that include bracelets, necklaces, or wands. But it wasn't like they were having fun or goofing off. They just stopped, stood there, and stared at us. He tried asking what they were doing here. If they were lost, where are their parents? No response. The oldest-looking male child, a bit heavy-set with a gray hoodie on, approached the vehicle just in the front where the passenger headlight corner would be. My friend started really freaking out at this moment. He locked the doors and was like, "Hell no, we gotta go." Eventually, the car starts. The children don't move, and the kid stays put in front of the car. My friend eventually yells to the kid, "I'm gonna run you over." The boy slowly backs away, raising his arm and points at us as we are leaving. I didn't look back.
Ooh. Huh. Ooh, I wonder what park that was.
I don't know. That's spooky to me.
Yeah, that's
not today. Yeah.
It's the pointing at the end that, oh gosh, I just don't like that.
And you know what? I think we're so, because of all the scary movies out there with creepy kids in them, we're almost programmed to, if a kid acts weird, I mean, you know, to see a kid out of place like that in a remote area, in the,
like a state,
you know,
park,
late,
in the middle
late
of the night, in the dark,
walking out of the woods. Yeah, I don't know.
That's again, sort of... it's very cult-like to me. It just is hollering, hey, we're in a cult. Like,
yeah, maybe all this has something to do with a cult. Who knows?
Maybe, I don't know.
Hey, is that one of your theories? Because I want to talk about some theories now.
I mean, I didn't have any theories coming in, but the more I hear about it, I don't know. I'm just kind of getting that vibe that, like, something's definitely off. These kids are not kids, like, they're not, well, either they're not actual kids or they're not being allowed to be kids, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like if they're in some kind of weird cult that brainwashes
them, yeah, like being like controlled or like mind controlled and made to creep people out or do something worse. I don't know.
Yeah, because I didn't ever come across a story where like these black-eyed kids hurt someone, just made them feel all weird in the feels, you know?
Because I feel like if a black-eyed kid is going to hurt you, I don't think they're just going to, like, knock you out and leave. Like, I think they're gonna finish the job. You know what I mean? So, obviously, there wouldn't be a story in that case.
Yeah, true.
You're gone, maybe, you know?
I've also heard stories about, like, people that, because if you hear, most of the focus is on the eyes, maybe pale skin, something like that.
Yeah.
But there are also tales of, you know, maybe their hands or their feet are more like talons, more like bird like almost.
Really?
You know, maybe they transform into something different. Or what I'm thinking is, you know, kind of back to the vampire theory, vampires, you know, they have assistants. Maybe they have people out looking for their next person they can turn, or maybe their future slave or something, right? Because similarities, you know, they're mind controlled, which is what vampires do. They have to be invited in, which is something vampires do. So I don't know. There's, you know, and of course the occult thing, or maybe spirits or demons. There's a lot that could be tied into this. I'm curious to hear what you guys have to say, and especially if any readers or listeners out there have anything or have any experience or, you know anything, we'd love to hear about it.
Yeah, for sure.
Please write in.
Well, you said something about them changing form, and that leads me to one of the theories out there, is that in Native American lore, with skinwalkers, you know, they change form and stuff, and they are known as predatory. Skinwalkers are known as predatory beings capable of assuming the form of their prey, right? And so that's one of the theories out there, because, you know, skinwalkers have been, stories about skinwalkers have been around since, you know, way before the white man came to this country. And then in Asian myths, there's some creature known as, and I don't know if I'm saying this right, but R-E-I-K-U, the Reiku. And they are the Asian version of skinwalk, of Native American skinwalkers. However, in the Asian version, the beings are linked to magic mirror conjuring. And they call it scrying mirror magic.
Yeah.
Scrying, crying with an S on it. Scrying mirror magic. And that's a practice that's still used in the occult today in some circles.
Yeah.
And I had never heard of that. But here is the most interesting theory that I came across. Okay, so back to Hebrew folklore. Okay, and this is outside the Bible. not necessarily this isn't described in the Bible, but in Hebrew folklore, this story has been around since the beginning of time, that Adam had a first wife whose name was Lilith. Mm-hmm. And her name does appear in the Bible, but not the details that the Hebrew lore offers. And according to the legends, after Lilith departed from Adam in the Garden of Eden, she joined with somebody named Samael. And it was said that she was cursed by God to bear no children. But instead, she and Samael produced demonic offspring that were reminiscent of the Nephilim, but a twisted version. And remember, we talked about the Nephilim in season one, way back in season one. And it said these sinister children described in Hebrew texts, they were described as shadowy, twin-faced demons resembling angels, but with black eyes. So I thought that was really interesting.
That's so cool.
And then later, from some Germanic legends, we have similar creatures mentioned in the form of doppelgangers, like when they talk, and we did an episode on that. So this ties back in to some of those legends of doppelgangers say that the supernatural twin had these black eyes like this, and that they could emerge from mirrors, which reminded me of the story we shared about Abraham Lincoln, him foreseeing, you know, his doppelganger and then in a mirror on the night he was shot. But so those are some really wild theories we've talked about. Maybe they're alien and they're, you know, like not of this world. It could be like these little occult kids running around, or maybe it's even like these cursed offspring, you know, from way back in Hebrew lore. It's just, there's a lot of theories about this, but the thing for me is when you do start reading the stories, people have described similar details about these kids. So something is going on out there. I don't know what it is. I don't know. I know if I saw one, it would freak me out. I've never seen one, but I would be like, oh, we have a friend on another podcast. She said, she always says about creepy kids, kick them down the stairs.
Yeah, she's going to punt them down the stairs.
Yeah. What is it she says?
She's going to punt them down the stairs.
Drop kick them down. Yeah,
drop kick them, yeah.
So those are some theories. Now, I don't know which one seems more believable to me. What about you, Lindsay? What do you think?
I love the story about Lilith. I think that's so fun. Like, that could be such a fun origin story for them. Like, villain origin story. I love it. And also, like, I kind of just want to put demonic offspring on, like, all of my bios everywhere. Just, that's all. Just demonic offspring. I love it. I think that's so fun. I don't know about the alien theory. I mean, I guess they could be aliens trying to be humans, like, you know, on Men in Black when he puts on the skin suit and, like, he, like, wears that guy. And, I mean, it could be something like that. And they're just so awkward and they don't know how to act like real humans. And that's why they're so odd and weird. But I don't know. It just doesn't scream aliens to me. It might to somebody else, but I don't really go that path.
The one of the stories that I heard on another podcast of these black-eyed kids, talking about black-eyed kids, it was this woman and she was home by herself and she lived way, and I think she was expecting a baby too, and she lived way out in the boonies. So she had like security cameras and she had like lights, bright lights outside the house, and two kids came to her door one night, and they had this weird, like, she could hear when she pushed the button, she could hear them and talk to them. She had some kind of speaker, like, outside, maybe a video cam or something like that, doorbell cam. And she was asking them, like, they were just staring. And she asked them, like, what did they want? And she said one of the kids spoke, and it chilled her to the core. She called the cops and everything because the kid would just say, "Let me in," like that. And she was so freaked out. And she called her husband, and then she called the cops, and they came out, and the kids, but the kids had been there. Like, she was having these conversations, you know, trying to have a conversation, asking what they needed. And all the one little kid would say was, "Let us in, let me in," you know, in this really creepy, weird voice. But anyway, the cops, now get this. So the cops came. The cops didn't find any sign of any kids at all, right? No footprints on her porch, anything like that. And so she said she even began to wonder after a few days if she imagined it. But she said, "I know that I saw them." And she said when she got the video, she had her husband look at the video footage. And she said, "You could see them, you know, you could see them standing there, but you never heard the voice. You could hear her voice asking questions, but you never heard their voice," mm-hmm. the little kid's creepy voice. Mm-hmm. And so that was another story. But I found a story that I feel like, I'm not going to say is more valid than the others, but maybe
More believable.
Yeah, I took it to have a little more credibility because, and I just came across this by chance. And it's a story about a U.S. Marine. Now, U.S. Marines are tough guys, you know, and they want to be, they usually portray themselves as tough guys. But this Marine had, he was stationed at Camp Lejeune, and he had an experience one night, and he wrote about it. And to his, you know, to the risk of being ridiculed and all by his, I guess, buddies, his big, tough Marine buddies. I don't know why he would have made this up, you know what I'm saying? But I want to read that, and then we'll talk a little bit before we close. But I want to read that as our last Black Eyed Kids account. And this story... it happened in 2009. You'll see that. It said, "You'd be hard pressed to find anyone who's tougher than a U.S. Marine. These soldiers are trained in combat, survival, and to face the threat of imminent bodily harm or death, but perhaps not quite prepared when it comes to encounters with the unknown." This report from a Marine, we're going to use the name Reaper 31, had an unexpected and altogether unnerving experience with the mysterious phenomenon of the black-eyed people, it says. To make it even more harrowing, these black-eyed entities appeared to be small kids. And this is his story as he told it. "I'm a Marine stationed at Camp Lejeune, North Carolina. I live in the infantry barracks off of River Road. I recently had a rather strange encounter with a pair of black-eyed kids. I live on the third floor of the barracks that have the open walkways on the outside and the rooms on the inside. And this happened on a weekend in November 2009. Because it was a weekend, almost every Marine was out either home, drinking, or sleeping, and only a handful of us were left in the barracks awake. I had stayed in that weekend because I was broke, basically, and had no money to go out. I was watching a movie when I heard a knock at my door. Figuring it was my roommate who lost his key again, I went and opened it. But instead of a drunken roommate, I found two little kids standing on the walkway. Only these kids freaked the hell out of me. I don't know what it was about them, but as a Marine, we're always told to listen to that little voice in our head because it just might save our life from an IED or something like that. Right then, that voice was screaming at me to shut the door and lock it. There was also the fact that these kids had absolutely pitch black eyes. I mean, no white or any other color to them whatsoever, just black. But I pushed those things aside and asked them what they were doing there so late. They responded by saying that it was really cold out and they wanted to come in and read. I was confused as hell because I've never met a kid that wants to read. Also, there was no mention of any parents or anything else you'd expect a couple of lost kids to say. I couldn't take my eyes off their pitch black eyes. It was like they were sucking me in. I felt horrible, and I was suddenly frightened for my life, like I needed to take cover. They just stood there and stared at me with those eyes. I took a quick look up and down the walkway to see if any other Marines were out, but nobody was in sight. I turned back to the kids, who I noticed had taken a step forward toward me. I got the feeling like I was being hunted, like these kids were predators out for their next meal or something. Instinct gave way to reason, and I decided to listen to that voice and shut the door and locked it. I heard soft, constant knocking for the next 5 minutes before I heard my window rattle, and then nothing. I went down to the officer on duty the next morning and asked him about it, and he said he hadn't heard or seen any kids in the area at all. He dismissed it, saying that I'd probably had too much to drink last night. Only, I hadn't been drinking at all. I don't know what or who those kids were, but I doubt any of the families here would let their kids wander around at night on a military base. And that was his story. And I thought, how weird, you know, on a military base. Yeah, that was pretty strange. And for a Marine to share that. I'm sure he got a lot of laughs after sharing that story, but, you know, oh, you've had too much to drink, you know, but he said it stuck with him. And that's been 2009. That's been quite a few years ago. What do y'all think about that one?
Yeah, that's strange. You know, I've been in military barracks. Most of the time, the person at the front desk working duty, everybody has to pass them even to get into the living quarters, you know, yeah. So for him not to see anything is strange unless they came in, because some are attached. They come through the other side, but, you know, through another barracks, which they would still have to pass through somebody. But, you know, for a Marine or somebody trained to be afraid or terrified of a kid, you know, and like I said, we're trying to trust our instincts, but they're sneaky. That's really dirty to use kids, because you're like, I'm about to help this kid. And you're like, no, it's dangerous. You're like, it's a six-year-old. You know?
You're arguing with yourself like he was in his head, you know. But he said he felt the same kind of fear that he had felt before, you know, in situations where he was afraid for his life. And that seemed to be the common thread in all of these stories, too, that whoever encountered them felt that kind of dread and fear and that gripping kind of terror and that red flag, that bell going off in their head saying something's not right, shut the door, you know. So I just want to say, if any little black-eyed kids ever come around here, or if they come around where you guys are, you know, go the other way, lock your doors. Don't take any chances. That's all I'm saying.
Well, real quick before we get off, you know, speaking of that, the feeling, a lot of that comes with, like, when you come into a negative spirit, like a demon or something like that. It's not really what you see. It's the feeling like you're describing, because that comes along with it. So whenever there's some alien or something that's not supposed to be there, normally they do come with a feeling like that.
Yeah, I'm so glad that we have those, that intuition, you know, that tells us when, because we know, like, you can even feel when someone's staring at you, you know. It's just we have those warning bells innate within us, and it is a good idea to listen to them.
You know what I really think? What? Like, in my brain, okay, I've just been working out this whole theory in my brain, and I feel like these kids, these black-eyed kids, whatever they are, whether it's just real people with contacts or some kind of eye disease or aliens or something supernatural, I feel like the adult version of them is like hunting people. I don't know what they would want from people, if they want to like eat you or steal your soul or like traffic you, I don't know. But any time that you think that you would need help, I feel like kids are the number one that you would help, you know?
Yes.
Like mm-hmm. the most vulnerable state. That's going to make you want to help them and comfort them because you don't sense them as a danger usually because they're right. smaller kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like the adult versions of these are really playing into that. And I really think that that story that you told, it makes me think that they got invited into the house and then this van pulls up, but maybe they were nice. So the kids just left and they were like, no, we'll pick somebody else. But I really feel like if she hadn't been kind and caring to them, they would have took them in that van and who knows what would have happened. I really like my brain's making this whole conspiracy theory. It's a cult. I know it's a cult.
I'm going to have some hot cocoa ready. And yeah. Somebody comes, I'm going to invite them in and I'm going to ask some questions. I'll be like, hey, I need to talk to you for a minute.
Yeah, would you want to come on our podcast?
Yeah, you want to come on our podcast?
Just come back Monday night. I'll have hot chocolate ready. I don't know that any black-eyed kids would ever come here because... Yeah, that other dog got scared, but I feel like Champ, he is always where I am. And if I'm freaked out, he's pissed, like automatically.
Yeah.
It's not happened often, but the two times that it has happened, he's been like, all right, I'm fighting right now. So I feel like if black-eyed kids came to my door or like black-eyed adults came to my door, he would be, I wouldn't be able to hear them, what they were saying, because he would be yelling.
He'd be yeah, like, he would.
You ain't coming to my house. I'm my mom's in here. You ain't coming. He's literally laying on the floor next to me.
He's just oblivious, isn't he?
Yeah. But he's always got my back. He's down for a fight. Yeah, he's got your back. For sure. Yeah. He's down for a fight.
But yeah, that okay. And I'm telling our listeners, you know, it's a good idea to have a dog.
I want to know everybody else's theories. Like, I know mine's like way out of the gate. I get it. It's very culty and like, is she okay? But also, I want to know interesting theories.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because there are bound to be tons of theories out there we haven't even mentioned. We haven't even scratched the surface. And, you know, there are all these people out there like putting their stories on Reddit. Hey, we're here. Send your stories in to Sirens of the Supernatural at gmail.com. We would love to hear those and read them on the air because... a lot of times what happens on Reddit is one person shares a story, and then all of a sudden the floodgates open and you've got all these other people sharing the same kind, you know, what happened to them with that same, you know, kind of entity or whatever. Mm-hmm. So we want to hear your theories. You can message us on social, you can email us anytime. We'll be sharing some creepy photos of some black-eyed children, artists' renderings of black-eyed children this week, and sharing some places where you can go and read some stories about black-eyed kids. It's a little different topic tonight, but I thought it was worth talking about.
What would y'all have done if I turned my camera on and I had just gotten my kids back contacts?
That would be creepy. Yeah, I didn't even think that.
I've never like worn contact. I don't think I could do it, but that would have been mad funny.
That would have been funny.
Yeah. I'd have said, Rhonda, you need to handle that.
I'd have been like, guess what, guys? I joined a cult.
We would have been doing some major praying. We could get old Ralph's Archie to come back on the podcast to pray for you. But no, I'm glad you didn't do that. I'm glad you didn't do that. So, okay, guys, follow us on our socials, give us some likes and love, and we want to hear more from our listeners. I know that you're out there and you've got stories, and we want to hear them and share them. Mm-hmm. So we'll be waiting for those, and we hope everybody has a great week. And like we always do, we're going to leave you with our catchphrase. Stay spooky. Bye, guys.
Take care, guys. See ya.
Thank you for joining us for yet another episode of Sirens of the Supernatural. Please be sure to join us each and every Friday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The Sirens of the Supernatural Paranormal Podcast is a production of Monkey Shine Media and copyright 2024 Salt Learning and Technology. Until next time.